Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, as we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is the reality, Lord, that we walk on as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying world. Let your word not only penetrate our hearts and our minds to renew it, but let us apply it to our life so we can actually live it. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 17. Says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Make sure you highlight that. We went over this just a little bit last week, or maybe a lot last week. And here's Paul's prayer for us, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. So the only way to have Christ in your heart is through faith, which is the belief, which is the trust, which is the commitment, which is the covenant between you and God. No one can put Christ in your heart for you. You have to do that for yourself. So it comes down to, what do we really believe? And you have to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. It says that you being rooted and grounded in love. We talked about that word rooted, being established, and that grounded, your foundation is in love. So last week we talked about what love is and what love isn't. We'll come back to that in just a minute, but I want to do a comparison. Turn with me to Luke chapter 46, because we're talking about foundation. Last week we talked about it out of Matthew. But here is Luke. Luke is more detailed. Luke is a doctor. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke is more detailed. He's more specific. And you know that two of us can see something happen, and we will have two different perspectives, two different vantage points. So here we are. Let's take a look at Luke's vantage point of what Christ said. Verse 46, he says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "And why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We can go home right now. So Jesus is asking you to examine your heart, and is he really Lord, Lord of your life? And if he is Lord, Lord of your life, why don't you do what he's telling you to do? Why do you come to church and call Jesus Lord, and then you leave and you do the opposite of what he's telling you to do? Highlight that. That's, you have to meditate on that all week. Is Jesus really my Lord or not? Verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them," underline that you must come, you hear, and then you do. You go to Christ, you hear what he's saying, and you do what he tells you to do. He said, if you do that, you're like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. We have some contractors in here. Dig deep, lay the foundation. Takes time to do that. Got to spend that time with God. dig deep, lay the foundation. There's nowhere around it. You have to spend time with God. You have to come to church. You have to fellowship. You have to read. You have to study. You have to pray. Otherwise, you don't know what your foundation is made of. But this is how you find out. And laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood rose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, your house could not be shaken, for it was founded upon a rock. Family, there's no question that our house will be shaken. Your singleness will be shaken. Your marriage will be shaken. Your job will be shaken. Your ministry will be shaken. Your church will be shaking.
Yes.
Your life, your relationships, your family, it is no question. There's no way around that. I wish I could give you a better word today, but it's no way. It's going to be shaken. But it's not about the shaking. It's about the foundation. It's about what is it built on. So we're saying that he wants us to be as... Is God said he wants us to be established. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. We know that God is love. We know that Jesus Christ is a foundation. It's interchangeably, it's one and the same. You cannot prevent the floods from coming, from the streams coming. You can't prevent the wind from coming. It is coming, but it's all about your foundation. And here's verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a person that without a foundation, underline without a foundation. Someone once said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Family, what is our foundation this morning? Couples, we talked about this over the weekend. What is the foundation of our marriage? Singles, what is the foundation of your singleness?
Pastor, can you tell me again what you Luke 4 and what?
We are at Luke 46 through 49. Luke, chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
I didn't say that. I didn't make that clear?
No, we got confused. Luke chapter 6. I was like 4 and 6.
I was trying to figure out, what is Natalie doing? Trying to figure out what man should not live by bread alone. I'm trying to figure out, what is Natalie doing? I'm the one with the problem this morning. Brother Gene, I'm the one with the problem this morning. Sorry about that, church. And trying to figure out, what is Vinny trying to give her sign language? What is Vinny doing? Now I look back, I'm like, what is Natalie doing? I'm ready to tell Natalie. Natalie,
you gotta get rooted.
You're right. I'm ready to tell her, Natalie, if it's not working this morning, just shut it down. Now, you all are too much. Look at verse 49 of Luke chapter 6. Amen?
Amen.
But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man, mankind, which means man, woman, or person without a foundation. Family, please don't be someone without a foundation. And you have to make sure that your foundation is the true foundation. Let me just take a side note. Let me tell you what I learned at the retreat, which was, I guess, reinforced with me. We talked about truth and what is truth. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, which we know Jesus Christ to be the truth. We broke down the word truth, and truth is reality. So your foundation has to be in reality. If your foundation isn't in Jesus Christ, then your foundation is an illusion.
Amen.
And you have to ask yourself, what is my foundation? Are you building your whole life on an illusion? Because if it's not built on Jesus Christ, then you're building your foundation on an illusion. Are you building your singleness on an illusion of a picture that the world is painting? Are you building your marriage on an illusion?
Yes.
Because if it's not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, trust me, it is this foundation that's built just on nothing. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if he is the reality, anything outside of that is an illusion. Wow, that's a deep word. Because people want to say that's what you believe. No, that's what the word teaches. So then you have to examine, as in verse 46, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? God is saying, if Jesus Christ isn't your reality and you want to live the illusion, then go out there and live the illusion. But know that that leads to destruction. But you can't do both. So here, let's look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, and built a house upon an illusion. Right here it says earth, but you might as well substitute earth with an illusion. You built your whole life on an illusion. An illusion is something which appears, but it's not really there. Do you really want to build your singleness on that? You want to build your ministry on that? You want to build your life on that? You want to build your marriage on that? You want to build your job on that? Because here we go, against which the streams did beat vehemently, which means they tore that thing down. They're coming strong. They're talking about this thing, El Nino, this winter, and we'll see what happens. They said it last year and it was nothing. But you better believe in the spirit realm, it's coming.
Yes. Yes.
And look what happened. And immediately it fell. Why? Because it was built on an illusion. If you built your house out of a house of cards, amen? You see, in the house of cards, that's what it's saying. Is your house built on the rock of Jesus Christ, or is it just a house of cards? Think about it. Is your singleness, is it built on a house of cards where as soon as something goes wrong or gets a little tough, then I got to do my thing. And Jesus is saying in verse 46, why are you calling me Lord, Lord? And you haven't done anything I told you to do. Because your house is built, your singleness is built on a house of cards. Is your marriage built on a house of cards? When it gets rough, well, I got to do my thing. Why? Because it was built on an illusion. It was built on a house of cards. Your job, your business. Is your business built on a house of cards? So when things get tough, I got to cheat on my taxes. I got to do this. I got to do that because I got to get paid. Is your job built on a house of cards? So you go there and you'll lie, you'll steal, you'll cheat, because instead of recognizing that God gave you that job, you actually got it.
Yeah.
And it's built on a house of cards. So God is saying we have to make a decision. How about our youth, our youngsters? Are you building your life on a house of cards? And that when you leave church and you get to school, church is church and school is school. I do whatever I want in school. I cuss like the other kids. I'll get high like the other kids. I'll gangbang like the other kids because, you know, I'm doing my thing. And you're building your life on an illusion, young folks. Don't build your life on an illusion, because times are going to get tough. And if you're not built on Christ, it's not going to last. That's all what the word is saying. It's saying it wants us to be rooted and grounded. It wants us to be established in love, the love of God. The security and the trust of God. And it says, and look at verse, let's finish verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth. I know we got some contractors in here. Let me see my contractors. Yeah, Brother Tommy, Brother John, Clarence, we'll throw you in there too. I mean, how silly is it just to start putting sticks in the ground? Oh, yeah. John said that makes sense when you're building a fence. Hmm? Mm-hmm. You built a fence at your house?
Yeah.
Did it fall down yet? Not yet. Okay. All right. All right. Oh, but look at the analogy. You put sticks in the ground, but even with that, John, when you guys built that wall in the back, you guys had to dig deep and you put down that wire and you put down, how far down do you have to go? You have to go at least 3 feet. You don't build it. But look, we're not called to live on the fence. You can't live on a fence. You can't have 1 foot on this side and 1 foot on the other side. You cannot live on the fence. Your foundation cannot be on a fence. You just can't put sticks in the ground and say, I'm going to go about my business and whatever happens, happens, because it says, against which the stream did beat vehemently. The same thing happened to the rock. The person that built their house on the rock is the same thing that built their house on the earth. The same thing happened. The only difference was the foundation, which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately, underline immediately, it fell. If you're not rooted and grounded in Christ, when things get tough, immediately you're going to do your own thing. Because that's where you really are. Immediately you're going to do your own thing. Verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? All right, let's go back to Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's 3:17. So then last week we talked about what love is and what love isn't. We had a little fun with it. Amen. You all remember that? We tried to find it in the music. We couldn't find it because Diana Ross had a love hangover. Jennifer Lopez said love don't cost a thing. Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? Dionne Warwick said, what the world needs is love. Bon Jovi said, you give love a bad name. The Bee Gees want to know, how deep was your love? So we went to 1 Corinthians 13. And then God gave us the true definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13. One says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm just making a lot of noise. And that's it. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So here we go. Look at let's go to verse 4. Well, you got to read verse 3 because it talks about sacrifice. It talks about who I am, what I do. It talks about a sacrifice in verse 3. And it says you could sacrifice all you want to, but if you have love, if you do it with the wrong spirit, it's nothing. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Oh, that's great. And though I give my body to be burned. Oh, that's excellent. And though I and have not charity, it profited me nothing. I'm nothing. You can go through life and you could give to the poor. You can do all this kind of stuff. But if you don't have the love of Christ in your heart, it doesn't benefit you at all. There's only one life that will soon pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. It doesn't mean anything without the right foundation. So in love, verse 4, it talks about how it suffers long. Somebody underline that. Remember, these are not just words that are said at a wedding. This is for those who are married, those who are single. How do we conduct our life? It says it's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not disrespectful. Now we get to the nitty gritty of what love is. If we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love, then this is how we should be living daily. This is our foundation as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, it doesn't behave itself rude. It's not after its own. It's not about just getting. It's not easily provoked. It takes its time. You can't get love upset. Love will tell you, go on about your business. Don't bother me with that right now. I ain't tripping on that. Then on top of that, even though it says that, it doesn't even think evil. When it says, you know what, I'm cool, it's really cool. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I'm not easily upset. I will not be upset with you. And you know what? What are you thinking? I'm not thinking any evil about you. I'm really cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
That's love. Amen. Rejoice not in iniquity. It's never happy about sin. It's not going to brag about being in some type of sin. Stealing and lying and cheating and sleeping around and who you with and who this, and I got a side piece and all this other kind of stuff. Love ain't into that foolishness. See, it's like you can go with this being football season, right? College football was a lot of upsets yesterday, all that kind of stuff. And we got the pro game today. It's a lot going on with football. So let me use a football analogy. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity because it's not happy about sin. Because what it's saying is like if you could see a team score a touchdown and they're celebrating. See, they're celebrating, but then you look and it's a penalty, a yellow flag. That's a penalty flag for those of you who don't follow football. All right? It's a penalty on the play. And they're all celebrating in the end zone, and you know what? Don't even count. You can be in all type of sin, rejoicing, oh, man, I've got this and I'm getting that and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you know what? Your life ain't counting for nothing. Yeah, yeah. The penalty of sin, that flag has been thrown. That don't even count. That's the illusion. Some of us are going to live a life and the penalty flag has been thrown our whole life. Paul talks about that. You get to the end and at the end you are cast away. You're disqualified. It was a penalty on the play. It didn't count. Everything you did, nothing counted. In your singleness, in your marriage, in your church, at your job, it didn't count. That's why love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, because it knows at the end of the day, all that sin stuff, it gets you nowhere.
Yes.
And it definitely keeps you out of heaven. It don't live a life that doesn't count. Don't get disqualified. Stop rejoicing in sin. Yeah, the word talks about it's pleasure before a season. For a little while, it's the greatest thing, but trust me. It's played with a flag on the play. Don't get caught up in the illusion. Jesus Christ is the reality. Do your research. Verse 6, the second half of that says, but it rejoices in the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth.
Yes, yes.
Love rejoices in reality. What's our reality? Jesus Christ is our reality. You say, Pastor, what about all these other religions? What about all these other things? I'm telling you, do your research. And remember, a religion is never valid based on its followers, but its founder. And nobody can stand up to what Jesus Christ did. Died on that cross, resurrected on that third day in all power.
Yes.
And it was a few ministries that we had planned on going to Israel with this month, but that didn't happen. They're over there right now. So that's what I'm saying. Do your research. Save a few dollars. Go to Israel. Look at all the things that are still there. Go to the empty tomb. When you go to the empty tomb, your head will probably try and fall off like mine did. So I came back with two questions. Does anybody care? Nobody's talking about this. See, family, we can do the research. We'll stand before God and we can't tell God, I didn't know you existed. as if the sun coming up and going down wasn't enough, you can go and see for yourself. All right, so let me finish this up. Then we get to verse 7. It says that love bears all things. And we broke down what it means when you bear all things. This is what love does. In the Greek, it means to cover, to protect faults and errors with silence. Love will never put you on blast. Love will never hang your dirty laundry on the clothesline. And for you youngsters, what a clothesline is, because I know y'all got washers and dryers now. A clothesline is when you would hang your clothes out in the yard with clothespins on a little wire line. And your laundry was clean. Somebody say amen. And love will make sure your laundry is clean. The opposite of love would hang your dirty laundry up there for the whole world to see. And laugh at you. Love doesn't do that. Love never puts you out there. I hope somebody's taking notes this morning. That's why it says it bears all things. It's not going to put you on blast. It's going to cover your errors with silence. Think about that, married couples. Your spouse should never put you out there in public. And you should never put your spouse out there in public. Regardless of how jacked up we are. Amen? Yes. Ladies, don't put us out there like that. You know we got issues, men. It's okay. We got two imperfect people following a perfect Savior. Amen? Yes. We come with faults. We come with issues. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need this type of love to be rooted and grounded. So I know how to treat my wife and you know how to treat your husband. You got to bear all things. Then you believe all things and you hope. That word hope means trust. And then you endure. That means that you remain. And endure also means to patiently suffer all things. Man, I knew my mic would be a little. Where's Ivy? Let me say that again. You're covering the errors with silence, and then you believe and you trust in all things. You're hoping all things, and you're enduring, you're remaining, and you're patiently suffering all things.
Amen.
Not just words at a wedding, but for those who are married and single, and for our kids growing up. And it says, verse 8, that's why it wants us to be rooted and grounded in that type of love. Why? Because that love, that type of love, never fails. We're talking about a foundation. We're talking about being rooted and grounded in that type of love. Whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're a youth, whether we're a seasoned saint. That's what we need to practice. That's the rooting and grounding. And that's why Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord? Lord, Lord," twice, which means it's significant. Why are you pretending that I'm Lord, Lord, and you do absolutely nothing of what my word tells you to do? Amen. Not out of words, but out of time. So we'll have to pick up here next week. If you'll bow your heads just for a quick minute. And maybe someone's here this morning. You're saying, "Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." I want to pray with you this morning. So what I want to share, if you're not sure if you're saved because you've never accepted Christ, and if God is tugging on your heart, this is a time for you to get saved. There's too much going on in the world today. You had folks in France. They were at a soccer game. You could go to a soccer, football. They were eating in a restaurant. This world has become violent and dangerous on a daily basis. Don't walk out of here and you're not sure if you were to die today, if you would spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in the illusion that what you see is all there is. No, we walk by faith and not by sight. They were at a concert. So just how violent, and that's what the word says. Evil spirits and seducing spirits are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. In the last days, it would be violent times. No natural affection. How can you just go open fire on somebody in a restaurant eating? So maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I don't want to wait until January 1. I'll kick back for the rest of the year. And then New Year's Day, I'm going to get it together. God is saying, not so. God is saying, you need to get it together today because tomorrow is not promised. Don't wait for a day. Now is the acceptable time. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home where the love of God is, where the people of God is. I'd like to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's your prayer, you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family here. Lord, how we thank you, how we love you. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. God, as you've challenged us this morning, we accept the challenge, Lord. We want to do better. We just don't want to call you. We want to be committed to you. We want to be in covenant with you. We want to communicate with you. We want to show that we really care about your word and for you. So let us not just be hearers, but be doers. Let us build on that foundation, that solid rock of Jesus Christ. The reality, don't let us build our lives on an illusion. Don't let any picture that this world paints attract us and take us from you, God. Keep us focused as we finish this year strong. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give me 5 more minutes of your time before we dismiss. We have a missionary here that we've supported this past year. Our brother Charles, he's normally up here playing as well. But the mission that they support in, that we support in Cambodia, the young ladies here who started the whole thing, and they actually hung out with us at the couples retreat this weekend as well. So so I would guess that make our couples international. We have an international couples retreat. Amen. Hey, but you guys, if you would, I can give you 5 minutes and then we got to dismiss. So you got to give us the quick version and then we'll invite you back as well. Let's give them a hand as they come up. God bless you. Hey. Good seeing you all again, Brother Charles. Thank you. 5 quick minutes. Sorry about that. 5 quick minutes.
So many of you have seen me here worshiping.
Amen.
It's been a blessing. And many of you know that I've been a missionary in Cambodia. Well, Thing I here is actually the founder of the ministry that I served at while I was in Cambodia. And so it's been such a blessing to be able to experience that, but also to get to know her very well and to soon be married.
All right. Whoa, whoa.
To quickly explain about the ministry in Cambodia and what I experienced is right away there was a lack of those who want to serve, and especially males, men, there was no men there. And so my first thought was, I'm a man. Why can't I go? Why can't I go serve? And so I did that. And it's just a blessing to see how the children are reacting to this, because it is a very dark place where 90% of children, some say even more, at one point, 90% of the daughters were sold to prostitution as young as 7 years old. And so it's just very difficult, but it's just a blessing to be able to serve alongside the guy here. And she'll share a little bit about her experience today.
I had to nominate 5 minutes, but I am just thank you so much for giving a chance for me to come here. And it's such a blessing to just stand to see all your beautiful face.
Amen.
And see the Lord is bringing me here for the purpose that just want to tell you that how much He loves you, and the children in Cambodia, or you, all these children of God. And we pray the blessing upon you, and we know that God is using you to bless so many people.
Amen.
And you've been blessing our ministry through Charles as well. So we're so happy to be here and face to face and see the church here.
Amen.
I just have a short presentation, but I have a long presentation in South Bay, Redeemed South Bay Church. So I don't have a lot of things to share, but I would say that God is the one who do everything in our life, and our story have written down, and He made everything possible in our life, so to grow us and to make us the way we are now. I was in Cambodia, just commit for 6 months that I'm gonna be a music teacher. And I end up there 9 months, 9 years now.
Nine years.
So why God keep me there? I just asking God, like, why you want to use me? I'm nothing. I don't have anything. But God had told me that I give so you can give to others. God give me the blessing is sharing to you this. I just really want to encourage you that your smile, your word of encouragement will be blessing to many other people. I will share with you more about the ministry later if we have another time. But we know that God have a purpose for us to be here and meeting all of you.
Amen. 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 And it's amazing how you said, Tien, you said 6 months turned into 9 years. You're going to be a music teacher, 6 months turned into 9 years. And we just thank God that we've been able to support the ministry there. And we like to keep supporting it. And so that we, as a board, we meet and we have policies in place. And so we'll share that with you. But we would love to continue to support and kind of breaks your heart. We take so much for granted. They say that the girls 7 years old, they sell them into prostitution because that's the way that they make money and just use kids over there. And most of us have daughters, and your heart has to be broken. But we thank God that the gospel goes forth. Family, remember, as I started off, we talked about the couples and your tithes, your offerings, your prayers, your presence allow what took place this weekend. What's taking place for the year in Cambodia, your tithes, your offerings, your prayer, is because of that. We take church outside of the four walls. We're not a four-wall church. Amen? We come here to get refueled to go out and make a difference. If you're just coming here, then you got to evaluate your relationship with God, because He said, go ye therefore. He didn't say bring them to church. He said, go out and get them. So family, yes, we come here, we fellowship, we get recharged, we get refueled, but that's just to go out and do the work of the Lord. Your job is not to come to church and then go home and do nothing. And I'm gonna already preach, so I ain't gonna get into another message. Everybody stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Hug somebody. Give them a hug. Come and greet our visitors from Cambodia. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you for playing my song, Ivy. Thank you.
Always.
Thank you. You call me out. Man, you doing all right, big guy?
I'm good.
Good, man. Man, glad to have you, brother. I'm not going to stop telling you that. Hey, what's up, E? What's up, Elijah?
Hi, Mikey.
Good to see you, man. Who's this guy, man? That's your brother, man. Oh, Sam. Goodness, man, I've been looking for my other buddy, man. Y'all better stop playing. I need to see y'all every Sunday when y'all can be here, all right? You're my cats, man. Y'all know that. Y'all my cats from way back. You're my homie from Wyoming, all right? Brother Brian, right. Bless you, man. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Hey, have a great week.
Okay.
See you next week. All right, God bless.
I want to share something with you, but we may have to do it.
Say it again. You want to what?
Next year.
You want to do what?
A youth study.
Well, let's do it. Yeah, yeah. Put it together. Let's do it. You look. We do it. Whatever you want to do, we do it, okay?
And just when,
let's set it up and let's do it.
Okay, I'll go.
But I think that's great.
I was thinking maybe
yeah. We got the kitchen. We got... All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. Thank you, Gene. I love
right.
You guys. God bless
you.
Have a good rest of the week. All right. And thanks again for just making that sacrifice. It was priceless. Bless you, brother. So you proposed already?
Technically not yet, but
okay. All right, cool. That's all right, though.
I ordered a ring. I didn't get here.
All right.
We'll see.
Right. Okay. How did it go at Redeemed Church?
Very good.
Well received?
Yes.
Good. Excellent.
She was explaining there's a video if we have time to maybe on December 6th.
Uh-huh.
Back in Alabama. Okay. So it's just a short, probably how long do you think it is? Like a 4 minute?
Yeah.
Maybe 5 minutes.
Maybe 3 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, so maybe we can set it up here.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Next time, because we had a meeting at our meeting today.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and that was, and we started, we didn't start late, but service was long. But thank you. All right, so next time we'll just put it right there, and then we'll head upstairs for our meeting. Okay? All right. All right, go get him. Don't let him get, don't let him hurt himself. Chris, you know what? Let me